Just imagine yourself one of the 12 disciples, or even actually imagine yourself as Jesus' mother for a minute. And she brought Jesus as a little baby into the world, and one of the prophecies she received as a young mother was that, you know, all the good things Jesus was going to do, but then the prophecy had this little line tacked on the end, and a sword will pierce your heart. She must have wondered what that meant. And so you can imagine being Mary and being the 12 disciples going through this exciting journey with Jesus and all the wonderful things that happened, and then finally one day some unruly people get their hands on him and crucify him. That would have to have been the worst day in the world, and Mary must have thought, well, that must be what they meant all those years ago about a sword will pierce my heart. That must have been what the prophecy was all about. It would have been a miserable day for Mary. The 12 disciples figured, well, we just wasted the last 3 years of our lives, and they went back fishing. And as far as Christ was concerned, I mean, it just looked like a public humiliation. It looked like the worst possible ending to the most promising thing. But we all agree that that was actually the best thing that ever happened, don't we? Without that particular circumstance happening the way that it happened, with all the terrible parts of it, it just wouldn't have been the big blessing that it is. And so we come today to the topic of praise. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which we have for you on the screen. It's a very well-known passage of scripture which often gets quoted when people are going through tough times. And it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So we know that all things that we experience as people who love Christ, they work for good. I'm sure there are people who don't love the Lord and they experience terrible things, and there's not a lot we can do to encourage them except to say, turn your life over to Christ and receive from his promises. But for those of us who love the Lord, we have a promise that says all things will work together for good. The disciples didn't know that scripture yet. It wasn't written yet when Jesus was nailed up on the cross. And so they despaired, but it turned out to be exactly what Romans 28 is saying. It was one of those things that worked out for good. And it was the best thing that ever could have happened. And so today we're going to talk about praise. And according to the Princeton University Dictionary, which you can find online, it says that praise is an expression of approval or commendation. I personally want to add a bit more onto that because I think praise goes further. I think praise is also an attitude. It's not just some words that you say to someone, oh, you've done a great job. Sure, that's praise, but I think that when we're talking about praising the Lord, I think it's our whole entire attitude towards him. I think that praise includes the quality of trust, because we know what God, we know the kind of person he is, we know what he's doing, and we trust him. I think praise is a much bigger thing than the typical definition you find in a dictionary. And so sometimes we have a circumstance at home where we ask our children to do something, and they just don't understand why. Why do I have to do that? And there's sometimes we can't tell them why. We just know it's going to be good for them. And so those children have to learn to do what they're told, and they have to learn to trust, but we always have their best interests at heart. And so sometimes God allows things to happen to us that are actually for our very good. But being humans with our human nature, we just wonder why. Why this? Why that? And so we come to the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. And the Apostle Paul starts to tell us how we should react in no matter what circumstance arrives in our life. And he says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So, not only are we being told to do it, we're also being told that it's God's will. We're being encouraged that no matter what circumstance we find in our life, no matter what happens, no matter what particular turn of events, that we are to give thanks, because We know the kind of God that we have, don't we? We know that he's a God that gives good gifts. We know that he's a faithful God. He's also the God that died on the cross, such a miserable thing that turned out to be the best thing that could have happened. And sometimes God allows a little bit of the cross in our lives, and the best thing that we can do is to praise him for it. The best thing that we can do is thank him for it, because he's just working good in us. And you can't always get the best results in people when they only experience good things all the time. I remember a few years ago, Paris Hilton. Everybody's heard of Paris Hilton. She was caught speeding. This is one of those people that's lived a terrible life in terms of the example they set for others. But she's one of those people that was spoiled rotten as a kid. Her father was a multi-millionaire and gave her everything she wanted. She never had to go through any difficult circumstances. And so one day she was caught speeding and was sent to jail for 1 month. And in jail, I can remember the news saying that she had this kind of revelation. Oh, I promise to be a much better person, you know. Well, sometimes we need a little bit of the difficult circumstances. And sometimes the best thing we can do is praise the Lord through those circumstances, because he really is doing the best thing for us. And so I'd like to tell you this morning the story of a woman called Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy, along with her father, were living in one of the cities of Holland during World War II. And they were Christian people of deep faith, and they decided to hide some Jewish people in their home. They built a secret wall in a back room, and they put Jewish people in there. And when the Germans would come through looking for the Jews, they'd go through the house, but they wouldn't find them because there was the secret wall. There's a book you can buy and read called The Hiding Place, which is all about this. But one day, inevitably, someone told on them, and they were caught, and they were sent to concentration camp. They never saw their father again. He went to be with the Lord. But Corrie and her sister were sent to a slave camp called Ravensbrück in Germany, where they had to work very hard and endure some atrocious conditions. I'm not really able to describe some of the conditions today because they're just not worth describing in front of children. But the conditions were so miserable that any normal human being would have had no hope left at all in anything. But Corrie and her sister Betsy were people of deep faith, and they found something to praise God for even in the midst of those circumstances. You'll never guess what it was. It was fleas. They found that they could thank the Lord for fleas, because their cabin, their dormitory that they were staying in, you know, along with dozens and dozens of other women all packed in, was swarming with fleas. And the saving grace of those fleas was that the German officers would not step foot in their dorm, and they were able to pray and praise the Lord as much as they wanted. So every day they would praise the Lord for those fleas. And I don't know how many of us would have found the grace to praise the Lord for those fleas, but for Corrie and her sister, that released a great deal of grace into that one dormitory. And if you read the story of The Hiding Place, that one dormitory was different to all the other dormitories in Ravensbrück, because the presence of God was in that dormitory. And even the other women that weren't believers, something about those two sisters and their prayer changed that whole entire room. It's a worthwhile book reading. There's also a movie. Either of them would be good. But it's just an illustration to us of praising the Lord in all circumstances, because Christ has a plan. And sometimes he allows things in our lives that we're not particularly enjoying, but we stop and say, hang on, it is God's will that I would praise him. And there is a reason why this is happening to me. And even if God is not specifically doing this to me, he sure is going to use it for good, according to Romans chapter 8. And so praise for me is a sign, it's a sign of thankfulness, because things happen that are good and we praise the Lord for those things, but then there's things that happen that aren't good, and then praise becomes for me trust, and it becomes faith. And so I can praise the Lord just as wholeheartedly and as excitedly about the bad things, because I trust God, that I know that that actually is good too. And when you praise the Lord, you are saying to him that you know that he knows what he's doing. And I sure wish every now and then, when we told our children to do something they didn't want to do, that they would say, thank you, Dad. Or, thank you, Mum. You know what you're doing. But it's one of those things we grow into, isn't it? by the time we're much older, we look back on our childhood and we realise, you know, our parents really were right back then in those things. I can remember a story. Maybe I don't know whether to tell this story or not, but Dad was cleaning out the garage one day, and there was all this junk, and there was this tin of orange paint. And for some reason, I had the idea that I wanted that tin of orange paint, and I was just going to go around painting things. Dad said, "No, that tin is going to the dump." I didn't understand that as a kid, but recently we were cleaning out something, and my boys were wanting to souvenir all these things for their own purposes, and I remembered that story as a kid, and I thought, you know, parents really do know stuff. Parents really have it all figured out. And if we think our parents know stuff, then God surely knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's best. The things that we go through are nothing in comparison to what some of the people in the Bible went through. You look at the life of Daniel, he got hooked into the lion's den. You never heard a word of grumbling out of him, but praise. And that ended up being a circumstance that elevated Daniel to a much higher place of authority in the kingdom. Or you hear stories like about Joseph, and Joseph gets sold into slavery and put in jail and all of these terrible things. It gets worse and worse for Joseph, but you never hear a word of grumbling or complaining out of Joseph. And ultimately, it's because of those circumstances he ends up being in the place where God wanted him to be all along. And God couldn't have put him in that place if he hadn't have gone through those circumstances, because his character would not have been ready for the job. So God really does know what is best for us. So I've been reading this book by Merlin Carruthers called Answers to Praise, and it's just full of all these little short stories. And some of them are the most remarkable stories you've ever heard in your life. In fact, if it wasn't written down, you wouldn't believe that it was true. There's this one story about this man whose daughter was a vegetable in a mental institution. She'd been there for some long amount of time, like 17 years or something, and this man would go and visit her every week, and he would sit with her, but she wouldn't be able to say very much except a little bit of nonsense, and he would leave all sad and depressed and regretting the day that she had the accident that caused all of that. And one day he had the revelation that he should praise the Lord for his daughter's condition. Didn't make sense to him at all, and he fought that revelation. He was not going to praise God for that. How could he praise God for something so bad and evil and terrible? He was not going to do it, but his conscience would not let him leave him alone, and eventually he said, "All right, I'm going to praise the Lord." So he humbled his heart and said, "Lord, I thank you that you know what you are doing," and he praised the Lord for his daughter's condition. Next thing, he gets a phone call from the hospital. "You won't believe what's happened. Your daughter's walking around and talking like a normal person." He races around to the hospital, and there is his daughter, just like a regular human being. He puts her in his car and takes her home. And it's the end of the whole entire situation. To me, that was an incredibly, entirely unbelievable story. I found it difficult to believe that that could be true. But then I thought, no, there's power in praise. And we even see that in the Bible, where Paul and Silas are thrown into jail. And, you know, you or me, if we were thrown into jail, it would be like, falsely accused, this is not right, I shouldn't be in here, grumble, complain, whinge. But no, Paul and Silas thought, well, let's praise the Lord. It's not a natural human reaction to praise the Lord in the midst of difficult circumstances, but that's what they did. And next thing we read in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that there was a tremendous earthquake, and the whole entire jail was broken open and they were free. And not only that, the jailer had a witness of the power of Christ, and they led the jailer and his whole family to the Lord. And that was part of the start of the church of Philippi. So just because they decided not to grumble, but they decided to praise, that whole entire situation unfolded. I think to myself how many wonderful opportunities we might have missed in our lives because we approach things out of our human nature, complaining and grumbling and that sort of thing. And of course we all know the story of the children of Israel. God does these miraculous events for them. 10 plagues in Egypt, brings them out, crosses the Red Sea, water piled up on both sides, and they go through. And then the Egyptians come through and are drowned. All these incredible miracles that you and I have never seen the like of. And then they get out into the desert, and the Bible says that God deliberately took them to a place where there was no water. God did that on purpose. The Bible says that he was testing their hearts. And you would think that if after seeing all those amazing miracles, you'd think that somehow they'd say, oh, well, God's done all that before. Surely he can give us something to drink. But no, their human nature took over and they were in the desert with no water and they started to grumble and complain. And in the book of Hebrews, it says some things about how God viewed all that, what his attitude was about their grumbling and complaining. But the long and the short of it was that they ended up wandering around that desert for 40 years until their children grew up and God took their children into the promised land. And I think to myself, what if they had just trusted God in that moment and said, hang on, God has brought us out of Egypt. God has taken us through the Red Sea, and we're going to just trust the Lord and praise him right now that he's going to continue to provide for us. And if they had done that, I suspect the Bible would have been different. They wouldn't have been in the desert for 40 years. They would have got to the promised land much quicker. But the Bible does say in Hebrews that this was an example to us. And so I think that in the difficulties of our lives, we could learn from the Israelites and be people of praise and thanksgiving. So praise has this wonderful, amazing way of changing circumstances. And it also has a way of changing the way we feel about circumstances. Praise doesn't actually change God. You know, sometimes we pray because we're trying to change God's mind. We think that God's not doing something quite right. We think that circumstances shouldn't be like this, they should be like this. Oh God, just change things. God actually, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today and forever. God, in that sense, doesn't change. He's always a perfect, loving, faithful, kind and wonderful God. But who changes? It's us. And so when we praise, what we're actually doing is changing the way we see a circumstance, and that actually lets God answer our prayer. And I think a good example of this is our parrot at home. We have a parrot. It's a hand-raised parrot, sits on your shoulder, nibbles your ear and does all that stuff. But when it decides that it wants to be fed, it will screech. And it's one of those very loud screeches you can hear down the road. And it's quite disconcerting at certain times of the day. You do not want that parrot to screech. And so if it wants food and it starts screeching, that's when we don't feed it. Because if we did, we'd be training it to screech every time it wanted food. So we only feed it when it's behaving itself. I guess you could all understand that. And I thought about this and I thought, you know, that parrot's a bit like us. We can moan and complain and God do this, God do that. I thought, you know, it's when we stop complaining and grumbling and we should start praising, that's when actually God can answer our prayer. It's kind of like in the spirit realm, there's something that's stopping him from answering our prayer when our attitude towards him isn't quite right. But the minute our attitude changes, suddenly God's right there and he's actually able to answer our prayer. And that's why I think in that book, Answers to Praise, there's so many incredible stories. It's because people had prayed and asked God for a certain outcome and God was just ready to give it, but he couldn't give it yet until the attitude was right in the heart. And as soon as those people praised the Lord, that was when the answer to their prayer came. It's incredible. There's even a story in the Old Testament about the children of Israel going out to fight a terrible enemy. They didn't have enough soldiers, and the prophetic word that came was, just send the worship and praise team ahead. You've probably all heard that story before. They went out and just praised the Lord, and when they got to the battle, for some reason the enemy got angry with each other and they had slaughtered each other, and there actually wasn't even a battle to fight. And sometimes when we praise the Lord, there isn't even a battle to fight. The Lord just responds for us. And so I'd like to tell you all very quickly about something in Africa called the miracle berry. Who's heard of the miracle berry? I bet you no one has. Well, that's it right there on the screen. This is a little berry that grows in Africa. It's found in Western Africa, nations like Ghana and Liberia. And a gentleman called Chevalier Des Marquet was in Africa in 1725, and he discovered the Africans eating this thing. And he wanted to know all about it. And it turns out that this miracle berry has a strange effect on your taste buds. And it will make any, if you eat this thing, whatever you eat after it will taste good. And so it's called the miracle berry because you can eat sour lemons, you can eat whatever you like in the preceding minutes, and it will actually taste sweet. And I thought to myself, that's great, we should get some of these for, you know, when we've got vegetables for the kids. This would be really, really good. But And actually, you can buy miracle berry pills on the internet, I discovered. So you want to try it out, just go order some online. And but this thing, it doesn't matter what difficult, you know, what terrible food there is, you have a miracle berry first, and you'll be able to, you'll get through most things. And according to Wikipedia, you know, the effects of this can last from a quarter of an hour up to a whole hour. So it doesn't just go away in a few minutes. And scientists aren't even exactly able to describe how it works. They just know that it has this strange effect on the taste buds. And I thought, this is exactly like praise. You can be in the midst of a horrible situation and praise is your miracle berry. You just come to the Lord and you say, thank you for this situation. And soon, you're feeling much better about it all. And so praise has a way of bringing you into the joy of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 lists for us the fruits of the Spirit, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the next one is joy. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all the things that the Holy Spirit wants in your life, and if you surrender to Him, He will bring them about. So if you surrender to the Holy Spirit, who's asking you to praise, He will bring about the fruit of joy in your life. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 to 12, it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's read it. Let's start halfway through. This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you've got the joy of the Lord in your life, you can go through anything. And do you remember what the Bible said about Christ? It said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was actually happy about it. Can you believe that? That terrible circumstance which made so many other people unhappy, the Bible says, for the joy set before him. Christ knew it was good. He knew. And because of the joy that was set before him, he went through that terrible experience. And so I think for some of us, that Christ sets before us difficulties. He brings us to a time of testing like the children of Israel, or some other circumstances are in our life for our own good. The best thing we can do is just thank God for those things. And in Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And this verse, which we often use, it's often sung at the start of worship times, you know, to introduce the praise time. But praise isn't just a happy song or two. Praise is, like I said, an attitude. And I think that if we have this attitude in our life, that we will live all of our days in the courts of the Lord. We'll go through our day, and it wouldn't matter if we are scrubbing dishes, like Frank was talking about, or if we're doing some other task, something that's exciting or something that's not so exciting. If we've got a praise and a thankful heart within us, we'll just be in the courts of the Lord that whole entire time. I think that's a very exciting psalm to remind us of that. So praise opens up our eyes and we begin to see the kind of God we have. Because he hasn't changed. He's always been a good God, kind, faithful and loving. And we must become people of praise. We must learn to trust Christ through the difficulties of life, and gratitude and praise will help us to do this. What I want to do now for a few minutes is I actually want to do a couple of praise exercises. And each of you, I'm sure, will be able to think of something wonderful in your life to praise the Lord for. Because so many of us Christians, we don't even praise God for the good things. We neglect to say thank you to God for so much that is good. So what I wanted to do right now is to take a moment where each one of you would just shut your eyes and think and let the Lord remind you of some of the good things he's done for you. And I want you to take a moment in your hearts and give thanks to the Lord for those things. Go ahead and do that now. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like you to think of the worst situation in your life that you're currently going through. The most difficult person that you meet at work or at school, or perhaps the finances that you find yourself in at the moment, or a relative that's making your life difficult, or situation with your children at school, or some circumstance which you're finding very difficult. And I would like you to thank the Lord. You may not find it easy to thank him for that thing, but thank the Lord that he's with you in that circumstance and he's helping you, and thank him that he has a plan. Let's do that now. I'd like to pray for you all in these moments. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a part of our lives, that you've promised that you would never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that no matter what we're going through, that you are with us in that. I thank you for the great good that you bring our way. I thank you that everything you bring our way is for our good. And so today we pause and express to you our deep gratitude for all these things. And we ask, Heavenly Father, in addition to that, that you would be with us, bringing these situations in our lives to the proper conclusion. May we learn the character that we need to learn. May the circumstances bend to the knee of Christ. May things change according to your will. May we come through stronger and better. And may the power of Christ be at work in all of our lives. And so today I ask your blessing upon each and every person here. I pray that you would bring grace and favour, and that through our praise that we might see amazing, wonderful things happen. I thank you that you don't just give us everything we want immediately, but that you give it to us in the best way at the right time. And today I ask that the message of praise and the attitude of gratitude would be upon all the people here, that you would guide us into living this kind of life, I pray. Amen.